led by Kamsa, assumed the form of a terrible horse, and in his speed, as good as the mind, he entered the area of Brahman, digging the earth with his hoofs and spreading the ears on his neck as if a cloud and aeroplane ascended in the sky. He began to whine, terrifying the whole world. Just on his appearance, the personage of Godhead, Krishna, saw that the horse that John was terrifying the whole resident of Vrindavan by his whining sound, and pulling the bunch of hair on the tail as if big clouds rolling in the sky. And Krishna could understand the horse was challenging for fighting, but the Lord accepted his challenge and stood before the horse and called him for fight. At that time, the horse began to proceed towards Krishna. It came in sound as if a lion is roaring. The demon horse stood before the Lord, spreading his face as if it was eating the whole sky, and at great speed ran towards Krishna. He tried to beat him with his legs, which were not only very strong and forceful, but were as hard as a stone, and thus attempted to strike the body of the Lord. Krishna, however, immediately caught hold of the legs, and thus baffled him in his attempt to strike Krishna. And this time, Krishna, being a little angry, began to wheel around the horse as if in great negligence, and thus, after a few rounds, he threw him 100 years off, as if the gorilla threw away a big snake and stands upright. The horse thus being thrown by Krishna became immediately unconscious, but after little while he regained his consciousness and with great anger and force he began to rush towards Krishna. This time spreading his mouth. As soon as the horse approached Krishna, he pushed his left hand within the mouth of the horse as if a big snake enters into the hole of the field. The horse, however, felt it difficult because the hand of Krishna appeared to him something like hot iron rod, and immediately all his set of teeth fell down. When Krishna thus entered his hand within the mouth of the horse and began to inflate the throat of the horse, became choked up and out of suffocation. There was perspiration on his body, and he began to throw his legs hither and thither, and at the time of breathing last, the eyeballs in the socket began to roll, and he passed stool on his unit simultaneously, and thus the vital force of his life expired. And the horse was dead, all his body and mouth became loose and slackened, and Krishna could get out his hand without any difficulty. He, however, did not feel any surprise that the enemy, demon Kesi, was killed so easily. But the demigods in the sky, they become very much amazed and out of their great appreciation began to offer Krishna greetings by showering flowers. Much more, after this incident, Narad Muni, the greatest of all devotees, came to see Krishna in a solitary place and began to talk with him as follows. My dear Lord Krishna, you are unlimited, super soul, the supreme controller of all mystic powers, the Lord of the whole universe, all pervading personality of Godhead, and the rest for all the cosmic manifestation, and the master of all devotees, and the Lord of everyone. My dear man, you are the super soul of all living entities, and you remain concealed within their heart exactly like the fire remains concealed in every piece of fear. But still, you are the witness of all activities of the living entities, and you are the supreme controller within your heart. You are yourself self-sufficient, and before the creation, you existed, and by your energy, you have created this whole material elements, and on account of your perfect plan, this material world is created by interaction of the laws of nature. They are maintained and they are annihilated also. Although you are unaffected by all such activities, you remain the supreme controller eternally. My dear Lord, you have invented yourself on the surface of this world just to kill all the so-called kings on the surface of the world who are actually demons and hobgoblins, but they are cheating people in the dress of princely order. We have invented ourselves order to fulfill your promise that you come and within this material world just to give protection to the principles of right religiosity and to annihilate such unwanted miscreants. My dear Lord, I am therefore sure that day after tomorrow I shall see that the demons like Chanu, Musti, and wrestlers and elephants, as well as Kansa himself, will be killed by you, and I shall see them with my own eyes. After this, I shall be able to see the king of other demons like Sankha, Yavan, Mu, Narakasu. And I shall also see how you take away the Parijat flower from the kingdom of heaven, and how the king of heaven becomes defeated by you. Narad Muni continued to say, my dear Lord, I shall then be able to see how you marry princess, daughters of great chivalrous kings by paying a proper price of Kshatriya strength. This proper price paid by a Kshatriya means whenever he wants to marry a very beautiful and qualified prince, a daughter of a great king, he must fight with other competitors and come out victorious, and then he is given in charity the hand of the princess. I shall see also how you save from the hellish condition of life the king Nira, which is reacted by you in Dwaraka, said Narada Muni. I shall be able to see also how you get your wife along with the Saranta jewel, and how you would save the son of a Brahmin from dead life and already transferred to another planet. After this, it will be possible for me to see how he would kill the Pandrit demon and how you burn into ashes the kingdom of Kashi. Thereafter, it will be possible for me to see how he would kill the king of Chedda and Dantavakra in the great sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhishthira. Besides all these activities, it will be possible for me to see many other civilized activities by you while you shall remain in Dwaraka, and all such activities would be done by great prayers for all the time. And if not by your grace, it would be possible for me to see all these incidences. After this, there will be the battle of Kurukshetra, in which you will take part as the chariot driver of your friend Arjuna and as the invincible death incarnation, eternal time for all the belligerents assembled there. And I shall see how a large number of military forces will be killed in that battlefield. My Lord, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto your lotus feet, because you are situated completely in transcendental position, in perfect knowledge and bliss, and by your own situation, you are complete in the matter of fulfillment of all your desires. By exhibition of your internal potency, you have set up the influence of Maya, and your unlimited potency cannot be measured by anyone. My dear Lord, you are the supreme controller. You are under your own internal potency, and whatever apparently creations are there, as if you are dependent on them, they are simply imagination. You are taking birth in the family of Yoga Dynasty or Vishnu Dynasty, or your advent on the Satyasati world in your original form of eternal blissful knowledge, all these are your own pastimes. You are not dependent on anything except yourself. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto your lotus feet. In this connection, Narada Muni wanted to impress upon us, people in general, philosophers, that Krishna is fully independent. He is not dependent on anyone else. His appearance in the family of Jodhu, or his friendship with Arjuna, all his activities are not necessarily obliging him to act or to enjoy the result, but they are all his pastimes, and for him they are all imagination, but for us they are actual tangible facts. Thus, after offering his respectful obeisances to Lord Krishna,
Narada Muni, taking his permission, left the flat. And Krishna also, as usual, after killing the demon Kesi with his friends and cows, began to tend them in the forest without any deviation. In other words, Krishna is eternally engaged in his transcendental activities in Vrindavan with the friends, cowherds, boys, and the gopis, although he has sometimes to exhibit the extraordinary prayers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, method of killing different types of demons. Next paragraph. Sometimes Krishna, with his cowherds, boys, friends, were playing on the top of the Govardhan hill, and they imitated the play of the thief and the police, and some of the boys became the police constable, and some of the boys became thieves, and some of the boys began to take the role of lambs, and in this way they were enjoying their childhood pastimes. But one demon known by the name Bomasu, the demon who flies in the sky, he is the son of another great demon whose name is Maya. These demons can play very wonderful magic. He appeared on the scene, and he took the part of the cowherd's part who were playing as thieves. And taking this opportunity, he stole many boys who were playing the role of the lamb. In this way, one after another, he took away almost all the cowherd's boys, excepting a few, and he put them each in the caves of the mountain and closed the door with another stone. Krishna could immediately understand the tricks the demon was playing. Therefore, he caught hold of him exactly like the lion catches hold of a lamb. The demon had tried to expand himself just like hill to escape his arrest, but Krishna did not allow him to get out of his clutches, and he was immediately thrown on the ground with great force and was killed. Exactly like an animal is killed in a slaughterhouse ground. After killing the sky demon, Lord Krishna released all his cowherds, boys, friends from the caves of the mountain, and being praised both by his friends and the demigods in the sky for this wonderful act, he again returned back to Vrindavan with his cows and cowherds, boy, friends. Next verse. That ends the 37th chapter of Krishna in the matter of killing the sky demon by Krishna.